This week on Viewpoints.
The U.S. government doesn't even know how many contractors they have in Iraq. They don't even know the number.
Private military companies in Iraq. Who are they and what do they do? We'll find out from a filmmaker who investigated the issue. Then,
as a parent, if you can let your child go and give them this gift of freedom, you get back an extraordinary, experience for your children.
Volunteer camps. We'll hear how kids can spend the summer helping others and gaining insight into themselves. I'm Sandy Houseman.
And I'm Christopher Michael. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints. Since the draft was abolished more than 30 years ago, the U.S. Defense Department has relied on a volunteer military to protect the country from foreign enemies. It worked out well. That is, until 9/11 and the subsequent wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Today, our military is stretched perilously thin. To make up for the loss in numbers, the Pentagon deploys our soldiers and Marines back into combat sooner and for longer and more numerous tours of duty. Despite this strategy, there still aren't enough troops to fill the jobs that a modern army requires. This is where private military companies, or PMCs, take up the slack. We don't hear much about PMCs back home, and it's the mystery surrounding them that led filmmaker Nick Bichenich to create his documentary, Shadow Company. Bichenich talked to historians, military experts, journalists, and PMC employees, sometimes called mercenaries, to find out what kind of men join up, how the PMCs operate, and how their missions coincide with those of the military. He also tackled the moral and ethical issues that arise when nations use corporate, for-profit military companies in conflicts around the world. The idea of soldiers of fortune, in it just for the money and not beholding to anyone but their paymasters, just doesn't sit right with many Americans who remember World War II or the images of that war depicted in popular culture. Bichenich says it's our unfamiliarity with private armies that makes them seem so foreign to us.
It's actually the lack of private actors in warfare that's an anomaly. It's only in the last 150, 200 years that basically there has not been private actors. One of the definitions of a nation state, when nation states became stable and a dominant force in Europe, was that the state had a monopoly on the use of force. And this is something that in modern times is slightly changing. So when you start having these private corporations that can essentially deploy a battalion-sized force to anywhere in the world, then it becomes a very interesting environment for foreign policy to be conducted in.
According to Bichenich, no one knows exactly how many PMC employees are in Iraq at the moment. But he estimates that it's about 70,000 at a cost of $100 billion annually. He says these men are, in many cases, the cream of the world's military crop.
They are professional soldiers who have usually spent about 15, 20 years, sometimes more, in the employment of a regular army. So they might have been, Navy SEALs or U.S. Special Forces, or they might have worked for the SAS. They could be from various different countries. And now they're working in the private sector. They're working for a private company providing security. So because of that, since they are soldiers for hire, some of them are quite comfortable with the label mercenary.
Private contractors interviewed in Shadow Company say they're in it for many reasons: the camaraderie of other professional soldiers, the adventure, and because they can't envision themselves doing anything else. One of these men is John F. Mullins, a retired soldier of fortune with more than 40 years of military experience. He says that men who go into PMCs thinking it's going to be like Rambo or the A-Team are going to be very disappointed.
Hollywood doesn't do very well at all in its portrayal of mercenaries. If you're out there by yourself, as I've been a couple of times, very lonely feeling. You have nothing to depend on but yourself, and pure luck tells you sooner or later that you're not going to make it.
Another reason ex-soldiers and others find the PMCs so attractive is the money. They can make $100,000 to $200,000 a year for some jobs. So how does that make our own fighting men and women in the military feel? Bichenich says they're conflicted on the issue.
It's an interesting problem because, you see, on the one hand, you'd imagine that, say, you're a given infantry officer in a certain regiment in the United States Army, and you're sitting there and you're kind of going, I'm seeing these guys every day in the cafeteria. They have cool shades on. They have all the sexy gear. And I know that they're making 5 or 6 times as much as I am, yet I know they're risking their life in exactly the same way. Why am I not getting that kind of money? That's exactly what you think, and you kind of think, well, this really pisses me off. But at the same time, you might well be considering this as an alternative career, because you might be thinking, well, hang on a second, after I finish my tour, maybe I can resign and go and work for one of these private companies. And you know what? A lot of people are doing exactly that. So although on the one hand, there's certainly some level of animosity between the regular troops and the contractors, there's been one or two documented cases where they essentially had shouting matches with each other and arguments, and usually those arguments are not helped by some of the contractors being quite arrogant about their superior status. But at the same time, a lot of the troops treat them as rock stars.
Although they make so much more than regular military personnel, Bichinich says using PMCs can actually save money and increase efficiency for the military.
Usually, if you need, for the sake of argument, a surge for X thousand people for a couple of weeks, it doesn't make any sense to try and use more soldiers, because the soldiers are best used elsewhere. On top of that, the guys who you can get from these private military companies are significantly more seasoned than the soldiers. Now, these guys have 10, 15 years experience. The average soldier in Iraq has way less than that. Some of these guys are seeing combat for the first time. So you can basically get a hardcore group of veterans for a short period of time for a low amount of money.
However, the cost savings in Iraq seems to have reached the point of diminishing returns.
The problem in Iraq is that the conflict is going on way longer than anybody anticipated. So the whole idea of cost and efficiency and speed breaks down if you're using these guys continuously for years and years, because then you end up paying way more than you would have done in the first place. But I have a feeling that the current administration drastically underestimated not just the amount of people they would need in Iraq, but also the amount of time it would take.
Bichinich says that the mission of PMCs in Iraq is different than that of the military. Unfortunately, the enemy there doesn't see it that way.
The key difference between what they do in Iraq versus what a soldier would do, even though they have very similar skill sets, is they do not participate in aggressive operations. They are very much part of the military might that is in the country, but their task is not to go out and pursue and close with the enemy. Their tasks are very straightforward. They are there to protect individuals or convoys or static locations. So basically, they are a defensive force. However, they're a defensive force that moves around. They move around in armored vehicles. Their men are armed to the teeth. And they are perceived by the various different insurgency groups as being identical with the enemy. So even though the companies might claim, well, you know, we're different. We don't do anything aggressive. We're just defensive. The fact is that if it, you know, looks like a fish and smells like a fish, it probably is a fish.
This was brought home in a very public way on March 31st, 2004, when four contractors from the PMC Blackwater were ambushed, killed, burned, and mutilated, and two were hung from a bridge in Fallujah. According to the PBS.org Frontline website, their mission was to provide security for another contractor who was sent to pick up kitchen equipment from the 82nd Airborne. Robert Young Pelton, an author and adventurer interviewed for Shadow Company, says a mistake made by the PMCs and the idea that all Americans are soldiers or spies sealed the men's fate.
And they asked directions of the hotel manager how to get to here and how to get to there. So the hotel manager had full knowledge of what they were going to be doing the next day. Most insurgents think the contractors work for the CIA. In that particular case, I think the contractors were the target. And I think that the reason they were killed and mutilated was because they wanted to show, they had the chance to intercept them, and they wanted to show that they were winning the war against the CIA, not Blackwater or contractors.
No one knows just how many contractors have died in Iraq, though in Shadow Company, Peter Warren Singer, a senior analyst at the Brookings Institution in Washington, estimates the dead at about 250. While it's certainly sad for the friends and relatives of the PMC victims, Bichinich says there's no sense of loss by the American people and no political ramifications for the government that hired the contractors.
When a soldier dies and the flag-draped coffin comes home, that impact is felt. You know, families grieve, the president is often forced to make an appearance or at least a statement, or if not the president, then somebody else who's a senior representative, and papers will report on this, and you have this sense that presidents lose office because of too many young Americans dying. Nobody likes to have their sons and daughters go to war and come back in body bags. When contractors die, you don't hear about it. It's almost like they're not counted. So not only are you able to, as, say, a government in office, are you able to make certain decisions about sending troops to war without really asking for troops because you can outsource part of those troops to the private contractors, but also when those guys die, you don't really feel it, if you wish, because your political office isn't as jeopardized, because it's not like people are complaining, going, oh my God, all our boys are coming back dead.
This is just one of the many issues Bichinich says needs to be sorted out regarding the use of military contractors. Another is the transparency by which contracts to these companies are awarded. He says the no-bid process used in Iraq is almost a license to print money.
Those kinds of contracts should not be awarded in a private military environment, because they're extremely dangerous. Because if you have an environment that's, it's not so much that it's hidden, it's just obscured from view significantly because of the complexity, you know, the fog of war. It's happening in a faraway place. No one really fully understands it. It's happening very quickly. If you have all those environments combined, on top of that, to do a contract that no one else gets to bid on, it can cause some serious problems. So I think the government needs to seriously consider the manner in which basically the contract awarding process for private military contracts. And we also need to massively increase the transparency of all these interactions. I mean, think about it. The U.S. government doesn't even know how many contractors they have in Iraq. Forget about all this complicated stuff we're talking about changing. How about step number one, figure out what the issue is. Figure out how many of these guys there are and who's doing what. Then we can worry about solving the complicated problem, like how to make them work correctly.
One of the issues you have to wonder about when you hear about PMCs is, where do their loyalties lie? To the country they're fighting for? To their employers? Or to themselves? Would they switch to the other side in a conflict if the money was right? Bijanich says the answers to those questions are part economic, part ethical.
If Blackwater screws up and, say, a number of their employees do something that's contrary to what the U.S. government wants them to do, the U.S. government gives Blackwater 95% of its contracts. If you can imagine that from a purely economic business point of view, if you piss off your cash cow, you're not going to get jobs. So there is a business reason why a given contractor would be inclined to keep its employees in line. The second thing is to consider that a huge number of the employees for a lot of these private companies are actually seasoned soldiers. So generally, if you spend significant amounts of time in a military environment, certain kind of characteristics like honor, glory, loyalty, et cetera, are instilled in you. And those don't tend to go away when you suddenly start working for a private sector. So to be honest, a lot of these guys who we met, especially Americans, still perceive themselves as an extension of the Army. So I don't think there's any qualms about where their loyalties are. Although, to be honest, you could also argue that there's a bunch of other countries that provide military contractors, and these guys care far less. These guys might well be only motivated by the dollar.
Bijanich says it's tempting to think that because of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, that PMCs are an outgrowth of the policies of the current Republican administration. He says that the GOP did not invent them, and the PMCs are not going away if the Democrats take over the White House.
These private contractors existed under the time of Clinton. They'll exist under the time of the next Democratic set of power. So these companies aren't going away. What's important is to understand them and be able to work with them correctly.
There's a lot more to the film and the issue of PMCs than we've been able to cover here. However, you can find clips from the film, interviews, and other information on the topic by logging onto their website at shadowcompany.com. I'm Christopher Michael.